Hello and welcome to Try to Like, the podcast where every guest try a food they hate one last time. I'm David Zwick and I'm here with my fellow taste bud, Winston Carter. Winston, how has your hot tastus been going?
Oh, good. I'm seeing a lot of, been in Rome.
You've been in Rome?
Yeah. Just basking in the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and Jude Law, you've became friends.
You've gotten off your high tastus high
yes,
horse.
Yes. I really,
Your high horses, high tastus.
Yeah, notice how you started calling it high tastus, because that's the right name for it.
No, I'm referring to your specific position.
Oh no.
But it is the hot tastus.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, things have been good. How are
you? I want this to be the fight that finally does. You were worried about it taking a hiatus in general, and a worry about what it might do to us as a show. And so far, it seems to be going great.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I was most worried about was our different positions on calling it a hot tastus or a high tastus. And last week you were like,
things have changed.
It's in both of them.
I got
the tastus
trouble.
Is also in high taste us, mm-hmm. like taste us.
Yeah.
It's in both.
Mm-hmm.
That was your argument last week.
Yeah. Still tracks.
Still tracks.
No, I'm good.
Cool.
How are you?
So,
how's your been?
It's been nice.
Good.
It's a nice little break. I'm excited to get back into it for season two. It's exciting. It's actually been nice to actually listen to some of these episodes and go back as we've been doing this whole process.
Yeah.
Let's jump into it. If you are just jumping into the podcast now, Try to Like It is on the briefest of hiatuses. Hashtag high tastus or hot tastus, depending on your position.
Yeah. Team high tastus, team hot tastus.
Yeah, those are the teams. Mm-hmm. And as we're doing it, we're offering up a hot taste, which is a hot take on taste. It's just like a prelude to the episode that we're re-releasing that week.
Mm-hmm.
So I can go first for this round of
go
hot tastes. Ooh, when it's just us, what do you think the Legion does?
Nothing. Stays in its cave or whatever.
No, they live in like a compound.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So my hot taste is this. It really only happened to me once. But I think across the board, the rule should be clear.
Mm-hmm.
If you order at a diner and it's a pancake or a waffle situation or French toast,
mm-hmm.
and let's say they provide the cheaper syrup for free and you want to upgrade to a maple for a dollar.
Okay.
All of that, I think, is fair and good business. But let's say you're being delivered said waffle, pancake, or French toast and some of the syrup you were not intending to use spills on the waffle. Or pancake or French toast. It is not a fine situation. The waiter can't just go like, this was okay. You were going to pour it on anyways. They didn't know what I was going to do with it.
What?
You can send that waffle or pancake or French toast back because it got some syrup on it.
No.
You get to control how much syrup gets
dick.
On it.
You are a dick.
I didn't.
Okay, good. Because you're
not
an asshole.
I wouldn't.
You can't. No. That hat man, a little
bit.
Well,
the only thing I have an issue with is them saying, like, this is, you were going to do this anyways. They don't know.
I do think you'd be like, I'm sorry, some of the syrup already spilled on it.
Yeah.
But
they didn't apologize. You're just like, you were going to do this anyways. It was like a fun laugh. It's like, you don't know what you did.
What were you going to do with the syrup?
Definitely not use all of it, which is what had spilled on it. It was like the whole, like, coffee creamer thing had spilled on the it was like that amount I was not going to use. So then there was also pre-saturation, like there were other things on the table I was still eating in terms of like breakfast sides, so I was forced into like an immediate pancake consumption.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I cannot share in the eggs that the person I was eating with. I had to immediately shift to pancakes.
I hate this because I kind of get it.
I was still waking up with my cup of coffee. Leave that alone. I gotta go. I gotta save this pancake.
It is a situation, especially because that amount. I think if you're the server, you kind of need to be like, "All right, well, this messed up."
Yeah.
If you had asked been like, "Hey, man, I was like, this is too like literally too much syrup."
Yeah.
I think the move is be like, "Can you bring me an extra pancake? Like one extra to even out."
A sponge pancake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And I think they should probably oblige in that moment.
Yeah.
Especially because pancakes are like so cheap.
And
it's not a
I had just ordered
them.
The one single stack because I only wanted one pancake.
Oh, so you didn't have like,
there wasn't
a top pancake situation.
Yeah.
That was unburdened.
Want to know what this breakfast was? I won't say where because I actually do. Well, I'll say this. They were very nice. They were nice overall. I love the place. It was Millie's. And Millie's Cafe is a fantastic spot.
Oh,
but I wanted a breakfast.
Yeah, I could see them being like, you're fine, right?
Yeah.
But also, I could see them be like, actually, they would totally get it.
100%.
I think would very much.
I'm just saying, in general,
oh,
you can't laugh this out off without an apology. You have to know what you did.
You You need apologies from people more than anyone I've ever met.
I do.
You're like, if someone wrongs you, you're like,
just say
sorry and we can move on.
Yeah, but if you don't say sorry,
it's impossible for you to move
on
without
holding
that.
A grudge. No, Millie's Cafe is probably one of the best East Side breakfast spots. I love them so much.
The others too?
Oh, there's one up in like Pasadena, Altadena, right?
Pasadena, Altadena one's almost entirely inside. The one in Silver Lake's almost entirely outside.
Yes.
I've never sat inside.
This breakfast was a bacon waffle, a coconut pancake, and that was it. And plus coffee. That was my breakfast. That's what I wanted to eat.
You deserve what happened to you. You deserve this.
Okay.
Because you're living what I can only, like when in Hunger Games, when the people in District 13 look at the Capitol and see what they're eating, it's what you were having. Oh, what does he have there? I don't know, some kind of tropical fruit pancake. Oh, and the other waffle has pork in it. We haven't had meat in months.
Fair.
They do bacon in a pancake?
They do both. They do bacon and a waffle.
That sounds good.
Bacon and waffles, I think, the way to go just because of the crisp factor.
That sounds tasty.
But... if it got saturated by syrup,
I would be
the
even,
whole equation gets thrown
especially
off.
Especially because you're starting with a coconut pancake, which is already kind of sweet.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah.
You're in a situation. I think the move is like, hey, man. I think, honestly, the move is it's an accident, and you just order an extra pancake. I think that's the move.
Ultimately, was fine. Did all of the pancake get consumed as is? Of course.
Yeah.
Was I silly the rest of the day because of that amount of like fructose syrup? 100%. Was I a joy? Of course.
I wish more places would serve. What I want is a condiment that is, because I put hot sauce on my pancakes sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I want a condiment that is butter, syrup, and hot sauce pre-mixed.
Yeah.
That I can just pour on.
Ooh.
And with that, if it's that mixture, make it soak
like
and wet.
Yeah. The chicken waffle mixture.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. I'm ready to rank this hot taste.
Rank it. Oh, and as always, we rank them on a scale of hot or cold for how controversial
it's
it is, and good
hot.
Or bad for the opinion on the
it's hot.
Hot taste.
And honestly, I want to give it a bad.
Yes,
but
you started out as bad.
I think it's good.
But you have to.
The argument is if you're delivering something as a server, and like, because if you had something and a ranch spilled all over something, you would be like, all right, let me get you something different.
Yes.
The same, because, they might want ranch, but they might not want all of it. The same thing's true with syrup, and you kind of got to understand that. I think hot good. I hate it.
And it's I would say it's on both parties. Like, server doesn't offer. It's like, also, it's like the cost of one additional pancake, not crazy. But also, I think if you say, I'm ordering another pancake to sop this up, they know what you're doing. And if you're being nice the whole time, good things happen. So, Winston, what's your hot taste?
Here it is. Very simple. This is one that's just spawning off of what you said.
Yeah.
If you're a breakfast restaurant, you have like a usual. If you have like, so this is maybe twofold. Every breakfast restaurant should have something that is like breakfast meat, couple eggs, two or three eggs.
A breakfast starch.
I think it should be both. I think it should be a potato and a pancake or some type of bread.
A savory and a sweet.
A
biscuit and a
I think every place should have that, and it should always be reasonably priced. Understanding you're going to sell a ton of them and they're not that difficult for you.
Right.
But I think this is maybe the actual controversial part.
Okay.
They should always have coffee included in that price. But if you get any other drink, then you have to pay for that drink. And I think that's fair.
I think that's fair.
But I think coffee should always be included in that price. So I think it should be like, I think I would like to see more restaurants when I go sit down be like, okay, normal place is $10, LA 15.
Sure.
And be like, but that's going to be my coffee. That's the meal. And then I just need a tip.
Yeah.
I think that's what it should be.
I think that's great. Millie's does have a usual where you can basically do that combo, but there's no free
coffee.
So you're just like, if you are getting the combo at
a
breakfast space.
Because coffee's very simple. It's not that expensive. I'm not ordering like a latte. I'm just talking about a cup of coffee.
Does creamer and sugar come with this coffee?
Yeah. But that's not, I'm not crazy. Yeah, of course it does.
Sure.
But yeah, that's what I think. But I think it should be a law. Maybe this is it. I think any place that serves breakfast should have a usual that is a combo that hits those four things.
Yes.
And they should legally have to provide that.
Is there a ceiling on the price?
It can't be more than $20, but it also has to be,
it must include
adjusted.
One meat, no. One savory starch, one sweet starch, and eggs.
But then that price is affixed to the average income of the area the restaurant is in.
Sure.
Yeah.
Does oatmeal or fruit factor in any way?
You could do replacements. The replacement policies are up to them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Great.
That's it.
But oh, what if they are like all...
You can upcharge for stuff, too.
What if they're all like bottom barrel options and then the upcharge is put it well above $20?
That's up to them.
Okay.
But also, how low of a barrel... Like, if this restaurant's good, their bacon's not going to be the worst.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Okay,
that's it.
Cool. But if they're legally mandated as a breakfast restaurant to have this...
If they're open between the hours... if they're open at any period before 11 a.m., yeah. Then this is part of the rule. So, like, dumpling places are going to have to do this.
Okay.
Like, all kinds of places are going to have to make adjustments to this.
Yes.
That's it.
Once it becomes a rule, it's nuts.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on board. I rank this. It's hot because it wasn't that hot until it became a law.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's hot because like there are legal distinctions involved. But it is good. Like the 50, like you're talking about 50 cents for the coffee to add mm-hmm. on. You could bake into the price.
Yeah, bake it into the price. Make it easier for me.
Here's the only other question. Like it's so easy at a breakfast restaurant to just order the coffee right away and then they come back to take the order. That folds back in when you get the combo, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they just X out that coffee you bought.
Then this is good to go. This is hot good.
Yeah.
So this is...
let's just do it.
Great.
Millie's, listen to this.
They basically are already doing it.
Yeah, please do. Yeah. Just add a coffee.
We basically have done two hot tastes specific to Millie's.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine. That place is great. I'm happy to give them attention. They're like, they've very quickly become, if I'm like looking for what I consider like a solid weekday or weekend breakfast, that's where I go.
I love it.
Because it's so good. It's fast. The food's really solid. I've yet to have a bad thing there.
Yeah. I'm the same way.
It's not blowing you away, but it's also not bad. It's like solid.
I would
and it's
eat
not
all
overpriced.
Of it. I wouldn't even say that. I would say it's great. Like
that's fair.
If you go in with that expectation, it is great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
If you're looking for like solid Greasy Spoon diner food.
It's a better version of Denny. It's not gross like Denny's or IHOP.
Yeah.
But it's tasty. It's not overpriced. That's really important to me, is that like I hate nothing more than if I'm spending like $20 at breakfast or something, I get so mad. Like that's insane. That's an insane price for, like, I get it, breakfast is important, but $10 that early in the day is about all I want to spend.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
So this has been Hot Tastes. Mm-hmm. So let's do a quick intro for this week's like review episode.
Yeah.
So we're going back. We're relaunching. We're just a big fan of his food, and we just had a joy with him on the show. We're doing the Ted Hopson gingerbread episode.
Mm-hmm. Great guy, great restaurant, great fries.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unbelievable fries. I wanted to particularly highlight this episode because of, beyond him just being a great guest, and he's like honestly been really supportive of the podcast ever since.
He's awesome.
I wanted to highlight it because it's like, this is the first time I like nervously cooked for a chef and they actively hated what I made.
Yeah. How's that feel?
It was rough. I mean, I got over it because I was like, this is not a... It's not a thing I'd ever
made
before.
Make savory cookies.
I tried so hard to make like a savory gingerbread biscuit. He was not wrong. The spice combo that I found a recipe online. The spice combination that I tried to do that I couldn't fully match had too much stuff going on. So it wasn't like do you remember eating it?
Yeah.
Was it disgusting?
It was just really unpleasant.
It's unpleasant, I think, is fair. It was just like it didn't know what it wanted to be.
Well, it wasn't like, it was like too salty. It was just like a lot of things. And I was just like, oh God, were there cranberries in it?
No.
It was gross.
No.
I remember it was just like, because you can put like thyme and sweet stuff and it makes sense.
Yeah.
But rosemary, I felt like, made an appearance.
It was like very herby.
Yeah. And like those are like, there's not, actually, well, no, rosemary can be in sweet things too.
Yeah.
But it's when you start mixing multiple herbs together and putting them in sweet things.
And having to highlight ginger as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was rough. It was real rough.
Yeah, it was gross.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
We recorded this at the Bellwether in Studio City.
Mm-hmm.
But
he's just the best. I don't know if I've talked about that. I've run into him outside of, like, I ran into him at Disneyland.
That's
once,
right. Yeah.
And he was the like came up and gave me a big hug. And I was like, this is the best. He's so nice. He's the nicest guy.
Yeah. So if you're ever back in LA, hit up the Bellwether.
Absolutely.
Or if he gets new spots in LA anytime soon, hit those up as well. We're excited for anything he's up to.
Mm-hmm.
And think by this point we had shifted our socials, but just in case, you can find us always at Try It Like a Pod all over the internet. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And 5 stars on Apple Podcasts would do us a real solid. But that's it. Enjoy the episode, and we'll see you next week for the continuation of the Hot Tastes.
Yeah, sure. I'll submit. Yes.
You don't. No, I want no, you I'm to gonna, not. I want you to fight. I want this.
I've
to,
like a horse. Have put my foot
I want this narrative to carry
head.
Us through no, the hot taste slash high taste.
I don't want
to
fight for the next month.
Okay. No. So, we're going to.
It's I'm the
gonna,
hot taste.
Fine. I'm high taste. All
right. Cool. And now I've won. So high taste is it.
No, it's hot taste. Yes,
yep.
Enjoy the episode. Hello, and welcome to Tried You'll Like It, the podcast where we have our guests eat a food they hate one last time. I'm here with my other host,
yeah.
Winston Carter.
Hey, how's it going? You didn't call me co-host this time, and I appreciate it.
Sure. I want to make it clear to people that it's not I'm hosting and you're the co-host with me.
I'm not I'm not your Andy Richter to
no.
your Conan.
Just because I'm kicking off the episode, that doesn't make me like
We're
host
1A
and you're host 1B.
There's no Conan on this show.
That's correct.
Great. Okay, perfect.
And and that's just to make it clear for everyone else out there. It's not there's not leveled hosts.
Mm-hmm.
We're equal hosts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, co-host because I'm also the co-host.
Yes.
I should be kicking off. It's like, hello, I'm co-host David Zwick here with my co-host Winston Carter.
You'd think this was a show about hosting and who hosts.
Right.
But no, it's actually a show about food people don't like.
Right. So we're here with our guest. Allow me to introduce him.
Yeah. I'll allow it.
Thank you, co-host. We're here with Ted Hobson, co-owner of The Bellwether. Hello.
I just want to listen to you guys talk more because that was the best part so far.
No one likes that.
Okay.
No one is like, oh man, more of this banter.
No, the co-host host conversation is quite interesting, actually.
All right. Oh, thank you.
Thank you for humoring us. How's it going? How are
Can
you?
Can I be a co-host for this episode?
You are a co-host.
Yes,
I am.
It's a tri-host situation.
Yeah,
it is a like one of those special episodes of a late night show where they bring in celebrities because Letterman's out.
Yeah,
it's one of those.
I feel like
we're a tripod. Like if one of us falls, the whole show crumbles.
Yeah, but we're not going to because the other two are going to hold them up. That's going to be great.
allow us. We're going to get into our segment at the top of the show, but let us tease the food for the episode right at the top. So Ted, you're having us talk about gingerbread.
Yeah,
not a fan.
No, I don't understand why people are fans of gingerbread. It's quite horrible, actually. I don't know if you've had gingerbread before, but you probably didn't like it. And if you did, you lied to yourself about it.
Yeah.
It's a thing you use mostly for building houses out of, and that's maybe not great.
Yeah. It's like the fruitcake. Like it's always the butt of a joke, but you give it to people, but you don't ever eat it.
Yeah.
You know, like it just sits there until it just gets old enough for you to justify throwing it away again.
Mm-hmm.
Or regifting it to someone you don't like.
Yeah, we've got a good gingerbread house that's about on the 7th year being regifted. That's not true.
Oh god!
But
no, I would
believable.
Believe it.
Yeah, I
believe it.
The Carter family maintains a. It's been maintaining
it's one of
a house.
Oldest traditions.
Yeah,
is that this house goes back and forth.
And the fact that it hasn't gone bad yet should scare you.
Yeah, it's like a McDonald's.
The
burger,
cheeseburger,
right?
Yeah, the museum exhibit, exactly.
So we'll get into gingerbread in just a second, but we have to kick off the episode with another round of hot tastes.
All right.
It's our hot takes on taste.
Mm-hmm.
Winston, you got a hot taste?
I do. I'm going to let you go first. I want to hear what dumb one you have this week.
Okay. So my hot taste is if I am eating at a restaurant and there's a nice bone that I've enjoyed, like I've had a short rib bone, sitting there.
This is another one that's going to be dumb. I know, like I knew it, but then you start talking and I'm like, oh, it's way worse than I planned on it being. Okay, go ahead with your bone.
If I'm taking leftovers home, I would also like to bring home
God
the bone without being asked, what am I going to use that bone for?
It's like the true doggy bag. You want it for your dog.
No, he wants it for him to make stock out of. I guarantee it.
That is correct.
That's... Dude.
But you want to applaud him for making stock?
No, because he's going to do that anyway. He has bone money. He doesn't need to be a weirdo to take home. It's... Oh, my God.
I side with you on this. Like, if you spend money for a tomahawk steak, you get that bone. You take it home.
I think so.
I disagree. I mean, okay, listen, not to immediately put you on the outs, but obviously now I'm the only one worthy of being a host here. This is crazy.
What happened to the tripod we talked about?
No, yeah. You guys both thought it was cool to take bones home.
Well, I don't it's take fine. Them home. I don't think it's cool. See, I wouldn't do it. I'm just, I would have begrudged someone who wanted to take bones.
You don't think it's cool? It's uncool?
It's yeah, it's a little cool. bit uncool. Yeah. But like the making stock part, that's cool. Because sure. yeah. a lot of people don't do that.
What's uncool about it?
It's trash.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, you're taking trash home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm, okay. My question here.
Yeah.
You have on your plate, there's no leftovers. You've eaten the meal, and then you're like, can I get a doggy bag for just these bones?
I don't
Or are you sliding it in with other stuff?
I don't have the gall.
To ask for just a bone bag.
A bag for the bone.
Okay. I wonder if you should carry like a man purse. So you just slide it in there when you're done eating and one knows.
Yeah, a little fanny bag. Like you got your gold coins and your bones in this little pouch. I feel like here's a big part of this is I'm very worried this is a stepping stone to you trying to take home other people's shellfish shells. Like, I feel like this is all just a path to where you're walking around the restaurant taking all the leftovers to make weird stocks.
I'm not going to take this with a previous hot taste. I'm not going to lump it in with that, where it's if I'm at a table with friends or family and there are fries being sent back to the kitchen and I haven't been offered those fries before they are returned.
See, now you're backing out because you realize how deep this nuts crazy idea goes.
Yeah, I didn't know it was all this. In fact, I don't know if I want you in the restaurant anymore.
Yeah, that's fine.
I just need to keep my eyes on you, I guess.
Sure, that's fine.
Yeah. I hope you don't have any loose bones in the back because he'll get them. Oh boy.
Yeah.
All right.
This just stems from it was a negotiation with
a
server.
Did this happen?
This happened.
Really, this did not happen. Please tell me this did not
this
really
happened
happen.
This happened not too long ago. I was out to dinner with my parents at a restaurant in Venice. I don't want to out them, make them feel bad, because the server wasn't in the
wrong.
I feel
if anything, the server's going to get a raise if they find out who it was. Like, good, you fought a guy who was trying to take home bones? Good.
Yeah, they didn't fight me. He was just like, he was confused.
I could guarantee you that all the server staff had a good laugh on your behalf at the end of the
fine.
Night. Like, the server went into the back area and was like, listen to this guy on table 110. What a jackass.
Bones.
He argued me for the bone. And everyone was like, where? I want to see him. Oh, yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
On one look, they didn't even say the table number. He stood up and they went, bone guy.
Yeah,
that's the bone guy. Everyone probably walked by and dropped stuff around him.
The more I grow out my hair, the more I'm starting to look like a bone guy, because I'm sure I wasn't wearing a hat with my parents, so it would have been...
No, you looked real weird.
Some white guy with a ponytail.
Yeah.
And a mustache.
And a mustache.
Yep, there you go.
I might have had a beard, but still.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm looking the part. So what's your hot taste, Winston?
Oh, boy. Yeah, we can move on to mine. Mine is that I don't think... this is a very simple one. The level of croissant we get in America is not up to snuff and should be better. It's that simple. That's it.
Stop eating at Starbucks.
No, it's not even Starbucks, man. It's fucking everywhere. It's everywhere. They're not good. I was just in Europe like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And went to a very cheap grocery store in London. Their croissants, awesome.
That's true.
Obviously, everywhere in Paris, their croissants, great. Ireland, great croissants everywhere. Here, we can't get one that's good. Maybe it's because I'm calling them croissants, but that's how we say it. We should be able to call them croissants, but still not get like the Costco.
Yeah, but
are you mad at Bargain Barrel croissants?
I'm not even Bargain Barrel. It's just I'm wondering like what the hell is, because the ones weren't expensive. Like, it's not like I was paying a lot of money for really quality baked goods, but it's also that we have a concept of the baker can't bake from 8 to noon. They have to, everything's prepared pre, like, the grocery store opening, more or less. And I think that's part of the issue, is they're sitting there forever. I also think they're probably not ventilated in their clamshells properly, so they're steaming. Whatever. I have issues.
You got to go to, like, a nice artisan bakehouse.
But I shouldn't have to do that.
I agree with you. The thing is like, there you're spending $5 for one. And in Europe, it's like, you know, 50 cents a dollar or whatever.
Yeah, that's all. And it's just that because such a good one is so goddamn good.
Magical.
It makes me very mad that we don't have those here. That's all. It's just that simple. I don't want it steel bones.
I think they're out there. I think it's just you're not going to get them
at
with the ubiquity that you can.
Around.
You have to go to a bakery, and you could get a great one. But yeah, you have to go out of your way to get a great one.
And that sucks.
It does kind of suck.
It's because it's not that crazy of a thing to have to make. It's just that it just needs to be done right.
You know what you should do is you should open your own restaurant like I did, because then people will deliver them to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the best way to spend a lot of money to get good croissants.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, because
do
you have an extra $1 million lying around? I'll open a place for you.
Yeah. I think I have one or two.
Yeah. That's we'll open I'm a place together and you could have croissants.
That's yeah. it. It's just like, the restaurant's failing, but Winston's so happy.
Yeah. yeah. Look at the pile of croissants in the office, though. Things are, failure is just, it's the eye of the beholder at that level.
I become one of the statistics of all the why restaurants fail. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, that's it. It's that simple.
Cool. Good hot taste.
Yeah. Yeah. You too.
Thank you. So we're recording this from the Bellwether.
Yeah.
For some of our listeners who might not be in Los Angeles or who have yet to come to the restaurant, could you walk us through what the Bellwether does, how long it's been open? Like, what's the jam here?
So the Bellwether, we opened about 2.5 years ago, me and my partner, Anne Marie. Mm-hmm. We wanted to be kind of a family local restaurant, but yet doing something kind of special and unique at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's probably the best way to encompass what we do is we kind of take our blend of fine dining and gastropubs and blend it into this middle ground of doing fun, unique food and a very kind of relaxed atmosphere.
Cool. That's once again a quality answer.
I've rehearsed that one a few times.
Yeah, it shows and it's great. Because you're not mumbling as much as me and David are. You seem to understand. Yeah, it's great. The place is great. I have not eaten here. David has.
I have.
Fantastic.
It's a good spot.
Yeah.
You get the fries.
Yeah, if we're talking fries, those fries were going to get sent back into the kitchen, that's a mistake.
Yeah.
They're great fries.
Okay. Yeah, they're good fries.
And the we ended up getting two orders.
Yeah.
Couldn't finish them, brought them home because the server said, just mash them up and make them into a hash.
Oh, yeah.
Did that.
Yeah.
And they were a great hash. Yeah. Okay. Real good.
Yeah. Okay. They're really good.
Hashable fries. I'm on board.
Well, because they're a very thick cut, so they could do that.
Yeah, they stand up.
You can't do it with shoestring fries.
Oh, no. Shoestring fries are, by and large, bullshit. I'm just going to throw that. Maybe that should have been my hot taste. That should have been your hot taste, and we wouldn't have had to talk about bones forever. Shoestring fries, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, no one really is. They're a vehicle to put sauce in your mouth.
Are you calling a McDonald's fry a shoestring fry?
That's a bigger fry. Cool. That's a good fry.
So there's a gamut. I'd say about as small as you ever want to go is a McDonald's fry.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, I don't go smaller than that.
Yeah, because otherwise they're potato chips, essentially. And they're like fries you get in handicaps thing. Yeah. Not a fan. All right. We're all on board.
We're on the same page.
We've solved this.
I'm fine with a shoestring.
Yeah?
Yeah. But I just like potatoes.
You just like, okay.
Yeah.
All right, man. I'm not. I get it. A shoestring onion? Like a tiny fried onion?
Oh, I like those.
On board.
Yeah.
But a potato. I want creaminess inside and then Christmas outside.
Oh, so you should have the fries here.
Yeah?
Yeah, each one is like its own little baked potato. They're so beautiful.
Oh, and they're like good little, there's like a clear, if you bite into it, there's a clear crust. Mm-hmm. And then so it's a clear delineation of creamy potato.
I'm on board.
And then skin. It's like a nice box shape. It's real great.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just start a new podcast, just the three of us talking all about fries.
Fries?
That's it.
I got
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
yeah.
I'll get technical with you. I know all the specs on fries.
So are we twice frying? Are we three times frying?
Here?
Yeah.
Oh, no. We do a like 3.5 day process. Right. Brining, steaming, refrigerating, freezing, frying.
Damn.
It's intense, man. It's intense. Right. We get all geeky about like chemistry of starch and potatoes and we write it on paper and then we make awesome fries.
Yeah. And then you're like, but this one's made out of eggs. This is not even a fry anymore.
Can I ask about something that I had here that I was interested in? Cause I was like, how is this holding its shape?
Yeah.
That was the cheese that's on the burger here right now. So I thought it was a fascinating, cause it's like, it was holding, it was almost as if it was like another, it's like a patty of cheese.
We call them a cheese disc actually. Yeah. yeah. So we take we take a blend of different cheeses. We do a aged cheddar because it's got that like really sharp flavor. Mm-hmm. We do a younger cheddar, and then we take cheese scraps from all the other stuff that we're using in the restaurant, and we push it all in there together. And we actually like pack it into like its own almost like you said, a burger patty. So when you put it on top of the burger, it actually looks like two burgers. We melt it just a little bit so it gets like oozy, but doesn't like, I hate when you get cheese that's melted so much that it just melts off of the burger.
Yeah.
So just to that oozy point, but the key is it's like a thick layer of cheese. It's like almost 4 ounces of cheese on top. So it's like, you know, a huge chunk of cheese. So it that's why it ends up being so perfect, is because it's a lot.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's good.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And you worked at Father's Office prior to the Bellwether.
Yeah.
And that's a burger joint.
Yeah.
First, I mean,
well, they do one burger.
They do one burger,
but it's a very well known burger.
It's a very famous burger. Yep.
Yeah. I didn't mean to knock everything else that's on that menu, but I think for
'50s music. All the booths are half old convertibles. Yeah.
But we then after that, I did some. I helped Umami Burger kind of while we were in construction here for a year. I was doing some consulting and opening with them, so I got to spend some time in that burger world too. So I think I've worked with enough burgers to be able to say, like, I made a cheeseburger.
That's great. You know? That's great.
So what's that timeline look? This is like as Umami is expanding?
Yeah. Okay. So I helped open some restaurants across the country for them, and we were doing construction here at the Bellwether. Mm-hmm. So I had left Father's office, broke ground here, kind of helped Umami open some restaurants around the country. So this is 2014, because we opened 2015 here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. Wow. Damn. So you're I don't know. I was going to say like burger maestro. That's not a great
Just a chef.
Who knows a burger.
Yeah, because my assumption too is that you would want to be known for more than just burgers.
Well, I love burgers. Yeah. I mean, come on. You grew up in America. You love a burger. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that, you know? I've just been lucky to work with some pretty amazing burgers.
Yeah.
How do you feel? Because I know Winston has a significant opinion on this. Are you fine with American cheese on a burger?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so my favorite burger in the whole world is Au Cheval in Chicago, right? Okay. I was just there like last month. They do like a frozen beef patty and they do a slice of American cheese and they double it up with their secret sauce and it's the most perfect thing you'll have in your whole life. Like read every Best of in America burger article, they're mentioned. They're not doing like any chef-driven burger. It is a genius burger. It's the best thing.
So this is embarrassing for me because I'm from north of Chicago, and I've never been to Au Cheval. Where in the city
is it? It's West Loop, and you have to go. It's literally my most favorite restaurant in the whole U.S.
Really?
100%, yeah.
Okay.
Every time, like, if I'm going to be anywhere within a four-hour window of Chicago, I make it a point to go there.
So if you're in Milwaukee or Indianapolis or...
Anywhere.
Really?
Even New York is just close enough where you could, like, make sure you have an extra long layover in Chicago to go to Au Cheval.
Okay.
It's that good.
And that is the hamburger place. Is that right?
Well, they just it's like Father's Office. They just do one burger. They just call it like the Cheval burger, and they do their regular has two patties, and then they do a double with three patties.
Has that place been there forever? That's not that place?
I think it's a different one.
I'm wrong.
It's not Billy Goat Tavern. It's a place.
That's what it is. Okay. It's something like that.
Yeah. Okay, that's Billy Goat.
Cool.
Yeah. So are you from Los Angeles or?
Yeah, nearabouts. Okay. I mean, not the heart of the city, but close enough.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, that's the, we actually just had a guest on who was like, well, I'm actually from, and we were like, people don't know that. Like,
yeah. No. Yeah. I'm from LA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As two people who aren't from LA, we're like, yeah, you're from LA.
Yeah, LA.
Yeah.
That's great.
So Ted, just because I'm curious, did you go to culinary school? Did you have like a particularly strong culinary background from your family, like that inspired you?
Yes, to all of that. Okay. So I was a kid. My grandmother came over from Italy, and my parents were working parents. So my grandmother raised me most of the time. And as an ethnic grandmother, she was cooking and cleaning all day, like most grandmothers do. So I grew up around that, and she grew everything in her backyard. So before we knew what farm to table was, like I would walk down the street and pick dandelions, and that would be, you know, salad for dinner. When the rain would come, we'd pick snails off the walls and clean them, and 2 or 3 days later, that's what we'd have for dinner.
Wow.
So when I was at university, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I had been working in restaurants since I was about 16. Didn't know what I wanted to do at university, and so I was just like, well, I'm just going to keep cooking. And, you know, back then there weren't really famous chefs. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any of the kind of things that you hear about now where kids are like, I want to be a chef to be on TV. Yeah. Like, back then you wanted to be a chef just because you didn't have anything better to do in life. Mm-hmm. So I stuck with it, went to culinary school after university, working in restaurants, kind of worked my way up, got to work in some really great places with great people, and... You know, you find me now. That's the abridged version, I guess. If you have time, we'll pour some cocktails and we'll get into the deep parts of it.
You are, it's worth noting, talking to a person, David, who has attempted to raise his own snails for eating.
Oh, yeah. I've done that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did that. Like, I grew up like that. And it was funny because when I was in culinary school, like day one, you make chicken stock. And my classmates were like, oh, my gosh, this is so cool. We're making chicken stock. And I was like, you guys didn't do this every day when you're growing up?
Yeah.
Like, where did you get it from? Like, I didn't know it came from a box, you know? So,
I will ask a side question. Did you ever become too attached to yours that you could not eat them?
To my snails?
Yes.
No, I'm a murdering son of a bitch. Okay. I've killed rabbits and I've eaten them. Like, I kind of fall into that philosophy of, like, I don't mind if I have to kill an animal. Like, I'll eat it.
I was going to say, it's also worth noting then that I have a tradition of, I feel like I need to, this is sounds gross, kill an animal once a year to earn the right to eat like meat, if that makes sense. Like I need to go through that process of actually.
Do you see butchering. A therapist about this?
Yes,
as well?
I do. And they said, don't do this. No, I have I'm from Oklahoma originally. Yeah. So I have friends who have farms. So like I'll go out there and like, we'll get some chickens and all just cause that's like, I feel like we're very far removed from those processes.
I agree.
And I'm like, oh, I need to understand that, like, yeah, killing chicken is gross and sucks.
Well,
but,
you know, here I have an open kitchen. You can mm-hmm. see it. And, you know, during the daytimes or brunch when we're open, sometimes I'll be doing prep over here. And, you know, we get our fish whole and I break them down. We've had people who sit there and like, this is disgusting. I can't look at it. I'm like, this is where your food comes from. Yeah. You know, like, I'm sorry if you think that me, you know, filleting a fish is disgusting, but this is the real deal.
Yeah, this is how, yeah. I think it's time to get into gingerbread.
You ready?
Yeah. Are you ready to talk about why you hate
gingerbread? Do you want to see a grown man cry?
That would be a first, and we'll put a gold star on the recorder.
Do I get my name on it,
too? Yeah, we'll etch in everyone who's cried during episodes. Yeah. It'll be a lot of David's name, a couple of mine, and just you.
That works.
So you hate gingerbread.
I do.
And what – okay, so – what is the first, like, history, like, where did, when do you first remember having gingerbread?
Could I just say I don't want to talk about it and the show's over? I mean,
we'll pack up.
Don't destroy the tripod.
Yeah. I don't know when I first didn't like it. Mm-hmm. I don't remember a specific instance of, like, a gingerbread beating me or anything like mm-hmm. that. I just remember having it at some point and being like, this is vile and disgusting. I don't want to eat it again.
Okay. All
I right. was probably a teenager at that point, okay. I would guess.
And then have you forcibly, I mean, we know like the one instance where you've had to eat it.
That TV show.
Yeah. So, which we've been, as we were like, okay, what are we going to make? That was referenced a lot. And I was like, well, we can't do that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we don't know how to do that. But it was like, okay, well, he really hates it.
So and let's walk through what that was.
Sure. Yeah.
So you were on Iron Chef Showdown in December.
Yep.
And the secret ingredient. So it's different than Iron Chef America where... You do.
Yeah, they kind of modified the show a little bit to add like a preliminary challenge of me versus another chef.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The winner then faces the Iron Chef
in
the traditional battle.
And so the secret ingredient for that initial battle was gingerbread. So did you know that ahead of time?
No.
Really?
Okay.
No, like when you're watching the show and they lift up that thing and Alton is like, gingerbread, like that look of horror on my face, that's real.
Yeah.
That's real because I had no idea that it was going to be gingerbread. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, like, the fuck do you do with gingerbread besides throw it away?
Yeah.
Besides throw it away.
So I'd heard before that you get like a list of potentials or... it might exist in this category of spices.
Right.
Did that not happen?
Not with gingerbread. Yeah. That is 100% like secret ingredient that, you know, like the altar picks up and me and I was facing, Kate Williams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Neither of us knew what it was and we see it. We both learn at the same time and then your time starts.
Yeah.
So it's literally like there's that part of the show is 100% real. There's nothing like producer behind the scenes happening. Like, you find out it's gingerbread, and you have 30 minutes, just me and just her, to make one dish.
And they didn't know you did not like gingerbread.
No. Yeah, that wasn't on any, like, interview sheet ahead of time of, like, tell us an ingredient you hate. I was like, I honestly thought we were going to get something like onion or something kind of, I don't know. That's
something usable.
Something usable,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, or, okay, we're going to have leftover cheeseburgers or mac and cheese or something like that you would see on Chopped. Mm. But no, we got... gingerbread.
I mean, like, so walk us through what you ended up making.
I ended up making a gingerbread romesco sauce with leeks, braised in the flavors of gingerbread, a gingerbread streusel. I did some pickled fennel, mint, and then seared halibut.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys would have done the same, I'm sure, right?
No. That was exactly...
That's the first thing that came to your mind,
right? Well, that's the obvious choice.
Yeah. I know. I took the easy route. Yeah. In a half hour.
Yeah. That's...
That's a lot.
Well, people ask, like, why? How did I come up with that? And to me, as someone who hates gingerbread, I tried to think of it as not gingerbread. I was just like, this is bread.
Yeah.
So what do I do with bread? I was like, I love romesco because it's a sauce thickened with bread. And then, you know, romesco and leeks, I love that. Mm-hmm. So it just started to kind of come together like that. And then I figured I'd make a streusel for something kind of crunchy on top, like a crumble almost.
Yeah.
So it just kind of came together.
That romesco and leeks is... really similar to, is it the calçots tradition in Spain?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I was like, yep,
that's where it comes from.
I read that. Yeah.
Yep.
Which is on my bucket list of things to do in my life.
I don't We got to stop making assumptions that our entire that audience knows calçots.
Yeah.
So what is that, Winston?
It's a tradition in Spain where they essentially take, it's a whole onion, and then they grow it like a leek, so they keep packing dirt around it. So like the actual growth out of it is much bigger and more pronounced. Then at the end of wine season, I believe it's like fall time tradition, you go out, you cut down all the grapevines, you make a fire with those, you roast those over that fire, and then you wrap them in newspaper, toss them in a cooler, get drunk, and then you dip the basically steamed kind of hybrid bastardized onion leek thing into Romesco sauce and eat it. And it looks like a blast.
Yeah, and so we did, when I cooked at the James Beard House last year, we basically did a version of that where we made like a Romesco, and then we made like a charred leek oil and braised leeks. So it was kind of like that. So the idea of like leeks and that sauce, you know, that's the first thing that came to me with gingerbread.
Yeah,
so.
Which is a great idea. Well, thank you. Do you need my approval here? we were trying to break this it down into how the hell do we make, what do we do with gingerbread?
Because it besides is so, make a cookie.
Yeah.
I mean, we mostly made cookies. We varied it up.
Yeah.
It was hard.
So excited. Is this the hardest one?
It's the hardest one because varying it up. We talked about doing this a bunch of ways, but it's like a lot of, it's a hard one because it's like, it felt to me that if we're going to really discuss gingerbread, we should exist in the form that it operates
in. Yeah.
It's not like something like eggplant where it's a versatile ingredient that you could do in a number of ways. Mm-hmm. With gingerbread, it should be baked. It should be all these things. We could have done things that, also define what gingerbread is.
Yeah.
Because at least for me in making this approach, like gingerbread is typically a biscuit. And then there's four central flavors that go into the gingerbread. And to me, that's molasses, ginger, cinnamon, and clove.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to use those four things and vary it up just a little bit was hard to make something that we thought was like good enough to bring to you.
Now try doing it with cameras like all up on you in a half hour and sweat just pouring out of places. Oh, that's all
I
do.
I just shoot him while the cooking's happening. I just get in. I just throw my iPhone in his face.
Well, there's also a difference, too, of, like, we're not professional chefs. Yeah, we don't have restaurants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we don't want to do a bad
job. You're the smart
one
out of this tripod, then.
Yeah. We had some, I really wanted to make a schnitzel with it, but I was also like, I don't know what that's going to work out as. And we had, like, then also, like, transportation. How are we going to, like, we don't want to bring something like, oh, hey, here's something that was pretty good 35 minutes ago. And now it's just, like, all the breading's falling off of this piece of pork. So...
yeah,
there's some great, we feel like we've at least given a spectrum and you're probably not gonna like it because that's the show,
but that's nothing personal. It's just that I don't like gingerbread. No. I like you.
No, sure. And also please, we're not quite at the tasting, but when we get there, don't blow smoke up our asses.
We have so many people who are like, oh, I kind of like, no, that doesn't happen. People are always very honest, and you can feel free to say anything you want.
We're well aware that we're the worst party host of a podcast because we're inviting guests to come onto our show
and eat something,
and don't like. We've like gone out of our way to find out what you don't enjoy.
So
you didn't make like a banana gingerbread cookie at all, right? Because I actually don't like banana either. That would be really perfect if you wanted me to gag.
Wow, banana.
Yeah.
What's wrong with banana?
Bananas are the most popular fruit by like a mile.
Is it?
Yeah. Bananas like overtake apple. It's not even close.
Isn't a tomato a fruit?
Ooh, Winston. I mean,
come on, man. Yeah. I'm going to leave. I'll get out of here. It's now a bipod. I'll see you guys later.
It's a bipod.
Yeah.
Before we get in, did you eat a lot of gingerbread growing up?
Me?
Yeah.
No, we made houses out of it. I mean, I don't hate it. I have nothing against it. But it's not. We have a separate Christmas cookie in my family that's like a sour cream cookie with nutmeg. That's super good.
That sounds good.
So why would we fuck with awful gingerbread?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you?
No. Part of that is being, I'll say this. Because my dad did it more than once growing up. He wasn't, you know, there's this major war on Christmas going on.
Yeah.
Huge war on Christmas.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
My dad's been fighting that battle like my entire childhood.
Oh, really?
In a way that like if, because we were raised Jewish, and if a Christmas carol came on the radio, it would be like a quick slam. Just like, he felt like Christmas carols, at least to me, my interpretation of that behavior beyond maybe he just hates Christmas carols, are like that. The ubiquity of Christmas carols is an affront to his existence because it makes him an other.
It was a personal attack.
It's a personal attack. I felt that way because, like, who, like, attacks their own car radio just because of jingle bells coming on? So we never had gingerbread in the house. And the only time I can remember gingerbread from my childhood is I had a fourth grade teacher who was leaving halfway through the year right at the winter break.
Mm-hmm.
And as a celebration, she was going to have us make gingerbread houses. And I thought that was a dumb thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to go to my advanced math class, which I had to leave my class for. So I remember like leading a crusade to stop making gingerbread houses so I could go do math.
There were
Your dad must have been so proud, by the way.
But there were so many kids in that class who were like, this motherfucker, we're going to make, we're just going to pull out icing and candy.
Yeah.
And he's fighting it to go to math.
Yeah.
I would have been mad. I would have been mad at you.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it got worse. The story gets worse.
Oh, no.
Well, they let me, we were going to make gingerbread cookies. And then after school, we went and saw Stuart Little.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember leaving for the math class because like there was some negotiation that happened that allowed us to go for math. But then some kid who was also going to this like advanced math class mm-hmm. then left the class. And I remember this because it was like, don't make me part of this. He leaves the class and then turns around. I'm already out of the classroom. And then he waves goodbye, regulars. And I was like, I cannot believe.
Oh, man.
I just like didn't want to make a gingerbread house.
Yeah.
I like thought it would be not fun for me because I was like, I don't know.
You have a real emotional thing about gingerbread.
This got bad. And so it's like I avoided gingerbread for a while. And I think it was because of that. I was like, it was a thing I didn't want to do. And then combined with like that made me feel bad because like I did. Because, like, then I'm lumped in with making other kids feel bad, and all I just want to do is go do math.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done math since.
Well, as I've said, my family just had a better cookie.
Yeah, that's fair.
We're equal. We're roughly the same.
Yeah.
In our responses to gingerbread.
Yeah.
So, we're getting close to the tasting, and how are you feeling about this?
A little bit nervous, actually.
That's
like,
fair.
We're talking about it a lot, and it's like my palms are sweating because it's uncomfortable for me, you know? It's not quite a fear. It's just like, why are we, you know, like, as you guys are talking about gingerbread and you're talking about being a kid, it makes me think, like, gingerbread is just evil because when you're a kid and you look at a gingerbread house, you want to eat it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's icing and frosting, but, like, it's also been out for days, so that all of it's rock hard. You break teeth,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, there's just nothing about it. So I feel like it's almost like it lures a kid in of like, eat me, I'm good.
Yeah.
Then, oh, fuck, I'm horrible.
It's
horrible.
Yeah. I agree. Can we all agree there should be like a gingerbread cake thing? Like, let's make a cake that we decorate like a
carrot
house.
Cake.
Yeah. That would be great.
Well, traditional.
And then you eat it that night. Like,
some traditional gingerbread recipes, like what they call gingerbread. I forget the name. It's like Levertsgovine or whatever it is. Something in German is just it's like a ginger cake, but they call it gingerbread.
That would be good.
Probably.
How are you with ginger in general?
Oh, I love ginger.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. That's what it's just this mixture and this, and as a cookie, not
Yeah, it's just, yeah.
That's fair. That's
yeah,
fair.
Just the molasses and it's always like so hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Molasses is unforgiving flavor wise.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It can be delicious. It's mostly awful. Ooh. I just had a good idea of something we should have done.
Fair.
But yeah, what was it? I was replacing the molasses with a sorghum and trying that.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Just to see what kind of types of things we can do with it.
Great.
So we're going to take a quick break and then we'll get into the tasting and you're not going to have a good time.
Fantastic. I'm so excited.
We're back. So we didn't stretch the gingerbread cookie to new realms for this tasting.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed in a cookie biscuit round
situation.
We didn't shape anything.
Mm-hmm.
We got no gingerbread men in front of us.
Yes.
But I thought we'd make a standard cookie after some experimentation and not liking some of the other stuff. These are things that I thought were presentable.
Yeah.
So we have
excellent
standard gingerbread cookies, molasses, clove, cinnamon, ginger, in a round, crispy-ish.
Yes.
And then I thought I could take those rounds, and typically there's nothing on there besides icing.
Yeah.
I was like, I have this crystallized ginger. I'll blend that with sugar. That'll be a topping for a gingerbread cookie.
So, yeah. So we have those, like two versions of those, essentially.
Two versions of those. And then
the sugar. And then...
These are insane.
Yes.
So these, I think they're good, but they are a lot going on. So it still has those four component ingredients, molasses,
the things you hate,
ginger, clove, cinnamon. But then I was like, I think I can get this to a savory realm and like have it be like, like this could be a decent cookie to have with cheese, perhaps.
Okay. All right.
So also in there is a blend of herbs that we dried. So that was
bananas.
Like if you're trying to make it sound better, it's just sounding more gross.
I'm going to make it sound more gross and then I'm going to see how you feel.
Yeah. Okay.
Eat with your brain first. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So we're going to really lower the bar. And then
why don't we do this? We'll try these ones right here.
Yeah.
And then I'll try this and I'll let you know what's in it afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah. Whichever you prefer. I'm the kind of person who wants to know what I'm having.
Doesn't matter to me. I do this for a living. So should I take one of each?
I would strongly suggest the sugar ginger one.
Perfect.
I think that's our...
That?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, I like your idea of using the ginger, the candy ginger on top. It's a good idea.
Thank you.
Cool. So go for it.
Do I just take a bite now?
Yeah, just give it a whirl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
It is up, reaching immediately for a drink.
Well, because it's dry enough to make it feel like you're chewing cardboard.
Yeah, I wanted it crispy, but... Yeah.
Well, I got a really soft one,
yeah,
and it's great.
I mean, it's not crispy. I mean, like, dry. It's not dry. Like, there's not enough fat in the cookie, you know?
Okay. Yeah. But that's how gingerbread is.
Yeah, no. And I it's weird because you want me to be honest and I'm looking at you telling you that they suck, but
he's on the edge of tears.
Yeah.
No, I know I'm not a huge fan of gingerbread anyways. Mm-hmm. So I think these are something I actually think are...
I wonder, by the way, if you would have done like a very rich frosting, like a cream cheese frosting, maybe that would have been better to balance out the dryness of the cookie.
I'm just not a frosting man.
No, so I get it. I'm seeing where you're at now. There's taste and texture.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, the taste, like, this is more dominated by the crystallized sugar on top, so you lose a lot of the molasses, ginger, shit part of it.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's not bad. Like, I wouldn't eat that cookie. Yeah. I wouldn't give it to my kids either because that's a little mean.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
But had I put this in banana pudding, you would have extra hated it.
Yeah.
Because I'm imagining a trifle use of this might have been okay.
That doesn't pair.
Huh?
I don't think...
Bananas go with everything, my friend.
Oh, I disagree.
We're talking bananas. We're talking ginger. We're talking things from the tropics. I get it.
No.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't use that. I wouldn't. I would make romesco out of that cookie and try to hide it as best as I possibly could.
Cool. So then
one of these now?
Yeah, these are the really interesting savory options. You're going to explain what's in them?
Yeah. Well, what do you think?
I think it's very unappetizing.
Okay, fair.
That's fair.
I think that the bits of salt you have on there, almost like a Maldon or a Fleur de Sel, like I think they're a little intense. Like there's not enough sugar to balance that out.
Okay.
And the savory herbs in there are very off-kilter to me.
Okay.
Obviously, I think that gingerbread could be made savory. I did it on TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I get that, but this is kind of weird. It like straddles a line of I want to be savory, I want to be sweet, but it doesn't really hit either one.
Yeah.
So it's stuck in like purgatory.
Yeah. And so in testing this one, we tried covering it with crystallized ginger again or just leaving it bare. And Winston was a big fan of the seasoning, and I agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. But they are weird as hell.
Yeah. So I took another bite.
No,
so I mean,
no. Yeah. But so you maybe. Okay. So
I took another bite because it's intriguing.
Yeah.
But intriguing doesn't mean good.
No,
it's like if you took a chicken biscuit, that popular cracker, and then added a bunch of sugar. It's like the same kind of like.
But worse.
What is this? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that, I don't know. This is. It's very weird.
It's like you took all of a holiday meal and made it into a cookie, is what it tastes like to me.
Yeah.
Which might not be great, but there's an element there. I feel like it's you could perfect
Have
that.
Have you ever had bad mole? Like
bad mole?
Yeah, so you go to someone's like a restaurant where you like order mole and they just ruin it by like too much chocolate or something. This is like bad mole.
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? It's not like
balance issue.
Yeah, it's not really hitting the where it should be in either way. So it's stuck in the middle. Like someone tried really hard to make it awesome, but they missed it.
Chocolate syrup instead of actual chocolate.
Or like there's so much chocolate you lost all the spices. Yeah. Like this, like the salt makes you lose some of the ginger, which is good, and you're left with like the spices part. Mm-hmm. But then you get ginger to aftertaste, and it kind of ruins it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, this one stumped me.
This was a hard, like, other ones are like eggs, and we're like, yeah, we can make good eggs.
Yeah, eggs are great.
Yeah,
but this one was a more difficult task where we tried to rise to the occasion, and it turns out you don't like gingerbread, and that's okay because we knew that.
But I think most people don't like gingerbread. I mean, like, I think you'd be hard pressed to find someone who sees a gingerbread house like, goes, I can't wait to fucking eat that.
Oh yeah,
I always got surprised when you saw the gingerbread latte at Starbucks, just like.
Who the hell wants that? I feel like they don't sell a lot of those. I feel like the eggnog one.
Eggnog makes sense
because people like eggnog.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like the gingerbread latte also, I think it's just they put so much sugar in there. Like imagine your first cookie if you just like it's covered it in sugar and then like frosting with more sugar on top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't actually taste gingerbread anymore. You just taste sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also worth noting that me and David, neither of us finished our savory cookies either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're interesting.
What?
But.
I'm not trying to spoil my lunch, Winston.
Yeah, fair enough.
No, saving that for after lunch.
Yeah.
You should eat those for lunch.
Oh, yeah, no.
For lunch, yeah. Oh, no.
I mean, like, I liked what you said earlier about having it, like, as a biscuit. Like, I was like, would you serve that with charcuterie? Like, would you have cheese on that? Like, maybe a really sharp blue cheese and you don't taste that anymore, but that would be gross, too.
Yeah, I don't think it pairs with any cheese. I would have to work on it. I don't think it's...
No.
And I don't like it enough to work on it.
I just keep thinking of gingerbread as like, because it's kind of German in origin, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. And so I keep thinking of it as like, how can, fair enough.
Fair.
I'm like, oh, but I bet like a weird German charcuterie, like a bunch of like summer sausage and stuff. I'm like, I bet there's a place where this cookie works for that. But hey.
As a spice mix in a summer sausage?
No, like, oh, ooh, no.
Oh, you could do that.
Yeah.
Oh, like blood pudding.
Like as the thickener.
Yeah, like blood pudding.
Like, like a black sausage. You could probably use this for that because, you know, it would balance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything to cover up the flavor of this horrible shit you made me eat would be good.
And again, sorry.
I mean that in the nicest way.
Thank you for being a good
sport. Really nice.
We're so much better than this.
Yeah.
We can fully blame the ingredient.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also,
I mean, I'm going to eat these. These plain ones, I'm on board with.
Better
I
than
will
you.
Eat these.
Do you dip them in milk or anything like that, or just straight up?
I'm just going to. I mean, I'm not a huge cookie person, but I'm like, oh, these. Like, I've eaten another one since we've sat here because I'm like, I enjoy this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want mine?
It's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And Winston.
Yeah.
I'm doing this so it impresses you. The cookies that are half eaten that are at our table right now, I'm not going to take them for myself
and
put them in a stock pot.
Good.
These are cookies that I will let them just stay on the side.
There are enough herbs in one of these cookies. You could add it to soup, and it maybe would be the worst thing.
Yeah. So we'll have pictures of these online. Mm-hmm. I will also post the recipe that I manufactured.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ted, sorry. And then thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah. That's what you need to change the title of this podcast to, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Thank you so much. So what should people, where can people find you online? What should they do? They need to come eat at the Bellwether, obviously.
Yeah.
Right?
So, the Bellwether _ LA is the social media handles. So that's the easiest way to get a hold of us on Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah.
I would say check us out on there cause we post our menu updates on Instagram and Facebook all the time cause we're always changing. So, you could also find me just at Ted Hobson, pretty much on everything cause I'm old school like that.
Awesome.
And, that's about it, man.
Cool. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah. But, you know, despite forcing to eat gingerbread, it is fun to chit-chat with you guys about these things.
Awesome. Oh, great. As always, you can find us at Try Do You Like It Podcast on Instagram or Try Do You Like It Podcast at gmail.com, TILI Podcast on Twitter, Try Do You Like It on Facebook, and then Winston, anything else?
No, just check
Don't you want to get going with your May promotion?
I have a May promotion. I did not know about this. If you give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and then in the comment, write whatever you want. Then at the end, write, I am not doing this for that free Coca-Cola. I'm going to go, you made cookies for people. I'm just giving them cans of Coca-Cola.
That's fair.
I will ship you a can of Coca-Cola or hand deliver it to you anywhere in L.A.
Great.
That's it.
Yeah, we need those 5 stars.
Yeah.
That's a good deal.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah. Well, he's giving out dozen cookies.
Was a dozen
gingerbread cookies?
If someone asked for them, I would get back into it.
Yeah. Please. I hope someone requests the gingerbread.
Well, it'll be passed when it happens.
I hope that person's a psychic.
Okay, great.
They can see into the future.
Perfect. Well, Ted, thank you so much again.
Thanks again, guys.
And have a good one.
Hey, stoners, this is James Mastriani, host of I'm Too Effin' High. We've got a really fun live show coming at you on March 19th, Thursday at 9:30. It's the I'm Too Effin' High Presents a Variety Show. It's at the Original Cannabis Cafe. It's a really fun venue. You're going to be able to come and smoke weed with us. We've got some amazing guests: Joel Kim Booster, Zach Reno and Jessica McKenna, Luke Knoll, Ever Maynard, Ian Abramson, The Quickness. You can smoke, you can eat, it's a great atmosphere, and it's only $10. Get your tickets at imtooeffinhigh.com.